Welcome to a podcast by Michael Servetus on the Book of the Errors of the Trinity, written in 1531 when he was 19 years old. A rare book. Chapter 22. You will insist, moreover, upon asking how Christ is said to have come down from heaven and to have been sent by the Father and come into the world. I have already said in the preceding argument that those who rely upon arguments of this sort seem to be resorting to the weapons of the Pharisees, and to use the same carnal sense as they. For the Pharisees prated, "Is not this the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How then doth he say, 'I am come down out of heaven'?" And the Master would not explain the truth to them, but afterwards, in explaining the matter to his disciples, he said, "What then if ye should behold the Son of Man ascending where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. These words are spirit and life." Again, Christ, speaking not of a second being, but of himself, says, "I am come down from heaven." Thus the reasoning turns out against you. I say then that that which came down from heaven is the word of God, as is said in Wisdom, "Thine all-powerful word, O Lord, leaped from heaven." Because God thundered from on high and gave his voice from heaven, and this word on earth became the Son. And Christ, pausing to discourse on the bread out of heaven, explains himself. "For what is the bread which cometh down from heaven, but the word of God, by which man lives, rather than by material bread alone? And this word, this bread, as he himself bears witness, is Christ, his very self, the very flesh itself, the very body itself of Christ. But since these things presuppose the mystery of the word, let them be postponed to the following books. Yet you might meanwhile have understood down from heaven, that is, down from above, because as he himself bears witness, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Also you might have understood the words of Christ thus spiritually, for Christ was in the Spirit of God before all time, and was in heaven, just as he also remains with us, even unto the end of the world. And for this reason alone, that his words were heavenly, you ought to have admitted that he himself was from heaven, for the baptism of John was from heaven, and the second man is of heaven, heavenly. With regard to what you say, that he was sent by the Father, there seems to be no great difficulty, for John also is said to have been sent from God. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. Likewise, Moses and the prophets are said to have been sent by God. And Christ, speaking to the Father about the apostles, says, "As thou didst send me into the world, so send I them into the world. And as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Chapter 23. I am forced to light upon these illustrations, not because they furnish a complete analogy, but in order to persuade you that a man was sent, which you, led astray by your philosophy, undertake to deny. For it is a great mistake to say that the second being is said to be passively sent, when it is the very nature of God. It is true that this unique sending of Christ and his coming forth from the Father has its roots fixed in God, as we shall explain when the mystery of the word is disclosed. Likewise, as for your saying that Christ came into the world, what wonder is it, when this is also true of others, every man coming into this world? Again, of what king do you understand this passage? "Blessed is the king that comes in the name of the Lord." Again, observe that those that are led by the Spirit of God are not of the world, and they are said to come into the world, even as into the houses of publicans. And they are said to come into this earthly tabernacle of a body, and are said to put on flesh, even as when one puts on a garment. And he that speaks by the Spirit observes that he is above the world. And Peter said that he was bound in this tabernacle as in something put upon him, speaking, that is, after the inward man. Chapter 24. Moreover, you can prove in what way Christ thought it not robbery to be equal with God. These words of Paul are so obscurely and variously interpreted by them that they can clearly convince no one by the words themselves, and that the more since it is perfectly plain that Paul is simply speaking of Christ Jesus. In the first place, some interpret it as meaning that the second person, apart from robbery, thought itself to be equal with the first. And again, they warp this ignorant explanation and make it refer to philosophical natures, saying that he did not think that to be a matter of robbery which belonged to his nature. Others say he did not think it robbery that he should be equal with God. That is, he did not think it a robbery of the equality with God, did not care to seize for himself equality with God. This meaning is more plausible than the first, because Paul never thought of the natures, and it is counter to Paul's purpose, who is treating of nothing but Christ's modesty and humility. Also, the force of the word but is clearly opposed to them, which, as the lawyers say, is taken adversatively, and of necessity the meaning is bound to be this: he did not exalt himself, but he humbled himself. He did not think it robbery, but abased, emptied, submitted himself. But in vain do I waste my labor on these things, which are all false, when the true solution lies in the words of the Master. For the objection of the Pharisees, who assailed Christ, is that he made himself equal with God and Christ. In reply, did not deny this equality, but said, "What things soever the Father did, these the Son also will do in like manner. And as the Father raiseth the dead, giveth them life, cleanseth lepers, giveth sight to the blind, healeth the deaf, the paralytics, the demoniacs, and others, even so doth the Son. And finally, the Father hath given all judgment, all power, unto the Son, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Behold how Christ was made equal with God, because all things whatsoever the Father hath are his. Behold how the
morphe,
that is, the appearance of deity, shone forth in him when he wrought such great miracles, and this is what Paul says, that he existed in the form and appearance of God. From this let us observe the humility of Christ, which Paul cites to us as a model of all humility. For the greater the power he is endowed with, the greater is his humility, the more he submits and abases himself. For there are many good men who, if they are made magistrates or have reached a higher estate, prove tyrants, but not so with Christ. For Christ did not think that this great equality which he had with God constituted robbery, and would not use it in the way of robbery. Firstly, because he did not accept the robbery when he perceived that they were about to take him by force to make him king, but he bore himself in this world. And it is this discourse that Paul has in mind. Secondly, he thought it not robbery to seize for himself 12 legions of angels and defend himself by force against the Jews, but chose humbly to suffer. Chapter 25. This, then, is the equality which he had while existing in the form of God. He had in himself an equal power with God by reason of the authority that was given him in equal measure with God. Because he was found to be God by his power, just as he was man by his flesh, And all things that the Father hath are his, and through him all things are done that are performed by the word of God, since he himself is the word of God. And he spoke thus of an equality of power, because the Son of Man shall be seated at the right hand of the power of God. And Stephen saw him at the right hand of the power of God. And this equality and exaltation at the right hand of God, Paul proclaimed, saying, not of the being, but of Christ, that he was placed above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Finally, that all things were put in subjection under his feet, and that he was given to be head over all things to the church itself, who filleth all in all. Likewise, equality in him with the power of God is noted in Daniel. Behold, there came a Son of Man, and he came even to the Ancient of Days, and there was given him all kingly power, and wonder at him is expressed in Jeremiah. Who is he that thus approacheth and hath been caused to draw near to God, so that he even comes near being equal to God himself? And this is the mere truth, so that Joseph was made equal to Pharaoh, although strictly speaking, he says, Pharaoh is greater than I. You've been listening to On the Errors of the Trinity by Michael Servetus, a rare book.